I think most Americans are familiar with the federal minimum wage, which is currently $7.25 an hour. But many might not be familiar with the federal tipped subminimum wage. Mm-hmm. Can you define that? Explain what that is?
Sure. So the tipped worker minimum wage, or as the ROC report describes it, as the federal subminimum wage, has remained stagnant at $2.13 since 1991. So that's for over 20 years, tip workers, the majority of whom are restaurant servers, have not received any kind of pay increase.
Now, the subminimum wage, though, exists because tips are supposed to be factored into that $2.13 per hour to make up to the $7.25. How does that accounting work?
That's the theoretical justification for the $2.13 hourly wage. The law also says that if tipped workers do not make $7.25, that employers must make up that cost difference. So if, let's say, I'm working a shift and I work an eight-hour shift and I make $40, which has happened many times to me and many of 9-to-5's members that are tip workers, the employer is legally required to make up that cost difference. But what the ROC report found and what I know that I've experienced in my own tenure as a tip worker is that employers very rarely make up that difference.
The study on workers that they did recently in the restaurant industry found a significant gap between pay scales amongst men and women. I mean, how wide was the gap? I mean, how much are we talking about?
So the ROC report talked about two different types of gender discrimination in the restaurant industry. And I should say that the restaurant industry is a huge and rapidly growing industry that employs upwards of 10 million workers in the United States, the majority of whom are women. And so there is money to be had working in the restaurant industry. But unfortunately, even though the majority of workers are women, most of the money is being made by men. And that's for two reasons. First is that there's gender discrimination inside of one restaurant. So next time you go to eat out, you should take a look around and notice who is your server and who is your chef. Chances are your server is a woman and your chef is a man. So your server is only making $2.13 an hour, whereas your chef and other non-tipped employees are making a minimum of $7.25 an hour. So that's one form of discrimination. The second is gender discrimination in terms of restaurant segment. So the ROC report talks about three different types of restaurants: quick serve, so like a McDonald's or a Wendy's, family style, so your favorite neighborhood restaurant down the street that's independently run, and then high-end restaurants. And so women are overrepresented in the quick serve and family style restaurants, but they're underrepresented in the high-end restaurants where servers can actually make a decent living.
Were wages the primary inequity in this ROC report?
That's right.
And what else did it cover?
The ROC report also covers sexual harassment and, in fact, also talks about the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, saying that the restaurant industry is one of the biggest purveyors of sexual harassment. And so sexual harassment being just something that is very much a part of the culture of restaurants.
My initial look at the report also showed that of all the states in the country where the federal tipped subminimum wage is still in effect and has not been brought up. Mm-hmm. Most of the states are in the Deep South.
That's right. That's right. Most of the states are in the Deep South.
And how do you account for that? Just an anti-union feeling, or does union have anything to do with it?
I think that there's anti-union and anti-worker sentiment that's more passionate and more voracious here in the South, yes.
Well, you're coordinating the Fair Eats campaign.
That's right.
What are your goals? What is that about?
So the Fair Eats campaign seeks to raise the hourly wage of tip workers, and we do that in two ways. The first is that we want to highlight and celebrate restaurant owners here in Atlanta that are already doing the right thing and paying their workers, their tip workers, $3 an hour or more. We also want to build a group of tip workers and our allies here in Atlanta that want to pressure and encourage restaurant owners to raise the hourly wage. We also seek to pass legislation that would restore the federal tipped worker minimum wage to its original value, which would now be 70% of $7.25 an hour.
In the ROC report, what they suggest is raising the subminimum wage from $2.13 to $5.08, which I guess would be 70% or pretty
That's right.
close to it, which in effect more than doubles it. You're talking over a 100% increase. And some would say, you know, gosh, if you do that, where is the employer, where's the restaurant owner going to come up with the extra money to double their employees' wages?
The legislation, if passed, the increases would happen over the course of several years, so it wouldn't just jump automatically. And something that ROC has issued a number of reports, and one of them talks about the states that have raised the hourly wage of tip workers, that there actually hasn't been a negative impact on business or on profit. And in fact, one of the consequences of $2.13 an hour. So one of the consequences of the federal sub-minimum wage is that there's high turnover. And high turnover is actually results in a lot of costs for restaurant owners as far as the time that it takes to train new employees, to find new employees, in addition to other tax-related processing of paperwork as well.
So by raising the sub-minimum wage to $5.08, the idea is it would create more stability in the workforce?
That's right. It would create more stability, and it would create better service for consumers as well.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think the restaurant industry, which is very large, as you pointed out, like the agricultural industry, is one that is built on, or its business model is based on, a large, low-paid workforce? And if you're familiar with what's happened in Georgia recently with the passage of some tough anti-illegal immigration laws, many farmers in the state have claimed that, you know, our Latino workforce, which may include a number of undocumented workers, has been driven away because of the legislation. And it's hurt their business. They've not been able to harvest the crops, or it's caused their costs to go up. I'm wondering if, could that same analogy be drawn between the farming industry and the restaurant industry? If restaurants are successful because they rely on people who work for tips primarily, and if you mess with that, if you alter that drastically, could it break the back of the restaurant industry, or at least some restaurants in the industry?
I think that a lot of the tip workers that are members of 9to5 talk about how their bosses will cut, and that's language that we use in the restaurant industry. They'll send home workers that are making $7.25 an hour or more, let's say 5 hours into a shift. And so they'll keep the workers that are making $2.13 an hour and require that they do more work than just wait tables, require them to mop floors, to process orders, to cook, in fact, for some of our members. And so I think that I think restaurant workers, and specifically workers that are making $2.13 an hour, are more easily exploitable because of that low wage. Do I think that it would break the back of the restaurant industry? No, I don't think so, mainly because it's such a rapidly growing industry. And in fact, within the context of the economic collapse, is one of the few industries that has grown exponentially. And your analysis or your analogy to the undocumented workforce, there's a huge undocumented working population in the restaurant industry. And that's not an issue that 9to5 is an expert on. But I do know that in my personal experience, undocumented workers, the majority of whom are working in the back of the house, so that means your dishwashers, your line cooks, your prep cooks, your chefs, are very exploited or subjected to wage theft and abuse as well. So there's discrimination in terms of gender, but also in terms of race, ethnicity, and citizenship status as well.
You may have thought about this already, but I'll bring this up anyhow. Could this problem be solved or alleviated somewhat if every restaurant just built in a gratuity as part of the cost of the meal?
Yes, it certainly could, because I actually don't think that it's just or fair to necessarily, for either the workers or consumers, for workers to rely just on the generosity of their customers for their salaries.
Now, if people want more information or to get involved, what's the best way they can do that?
They should visit faireats.org. That's www.faireats.org. And we would love to hear if there's other restaurants out there that are paying their tip workers $3 an hour or more. We would love to celebrate and highlight them. And if there's any restaurant workers, tip workers specifically, that are listening, we would love to hear from them as well.
Vanessa Farage is the Atlanta chapter organizer with 9to5. Vanessa, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Steve.